To call the meeting to order, and I'm going to ask Sarah if you can call the roll, please.
Yes. Ron Sherman. Absent. Dan Lauber.
Here.
Debbie Frederick.
Here.
Jim Flanagan.
Here.
Lydia Manning.
Here.
Barbara Merrill.
Here.
Am I saying that right?
Merrill.
Okay. Helen Kwan. Absent. And Chairperson Vasquez.
Here, thank you. Okay, is there anybody who signed up for public comment?
No.
And there's nobody else who's in the Zoom room, I'm assuming, right?
Correct.
Okay, so no point in asking. Okay, then let's go into the next agenda item, which is the approval of the minute meetings. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes from April 14th, 2021.
I'll motion to approve.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion, any comments, any modifications, et cetera? If not, then let's go ahead and call the roll for the vote.
Dan Lauber.
Yes.
Debbie Frederick.
Yes.
Jim Flanagan.
Yes.
Lydia Manning.
Yes.
Barbara Merrill.
Yes.
Did I say it right this time?
Yes, you did.
Helen Kwan is absent. Ron Sherman is absent. And Chairperson Vasquez.
Yes, thank you. Let's see, I have no, for the next agenda item, I have no updates, at least from the age-friendly community collaborative. But Lydia, do you have an update on dementia-friendly? No. Oh.
We are still in a holding pattern, but I actually just sent an email this week saying now that things are starting to open up and we're, you know, becoming more and more successful with vaccinations, let's revisit the action team and the work plan and the training schedule. And so I think that there will be some movement in the near future.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Lydia? If not, before we get into the old business, I was a little neglectful here. I should have all introduced our new member, Barbara Merrill, to the age-friendly committee. And maybe, Barbara, maybe you could tell a little bit about yourself and some of the past activities you've been involved with relating to aging place issues.
Okay, hi, everyone. I'm really happy to be here and grateful to be asked to be part of this group. I was living in Oak Park up until about 9 months ago when I moved to River Forest. And while I was in Oak Park, I was a commissioner on the Aging in Place Commission out of the village. I have also been involved in aging in place related things since I've been in Oak Park for the past 5 years at Oak Park River Forest, where I moved here from Michigan. And as a member of Arbor West Neighbors, I was part of a service group that conducted an asset mapping, which got all of the organizations in Oak Park and River Forest, not all of them, but good 20 of them or so, got them all together to see what it was that they could do to help serve seniors better in the community. And so I've been very involved with organizations as well as city government to try to promote things like aging in place, age-friendly communities, dementia-friendly communities. And that's kind of been my passion for the past 6 years here.
Well, great. Thank you, Barb. We're really happy that you joined us as well on this committee. So, and we also do have Helen Kwan, which I'm guessing a number of you may know. But she was unable to join us today. So I'm sure she'll join us the next month's meeting. They were just, these two individuals were just approved by the board on Monday. So for our committee, they got a little short notice, but I'm glad at least Barbara was able to make it for today.
Chris, I think we do have Helen just joined the call.
Oh, great.
Yes.
She's on the phone.
Lydia thankfully reminded me.
Okay. Oh, great. I'm sorry.
So, you know, I am here.
Okay. Well, then, Helen, thank you. I didn't see you, but that's fine. You're on the phone or are you?
Yes, I'm on the phone.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. Well, Helen, thank you. But Helen, do you want to, for those of you who may not know you, do you want to say a little bit about your activities regarding age, our seniors?
Sure. So I'm Helen Kwan, and I am the senior or the coordinator for the River Forest Senior Task Force.
Okay.
Which was put together really when we declared a state of emergency back in March in River Forest. And the intention was to serve our seniors, delivering meals and prescriptions and other services so that would allow them to stay at home once that stay-at-home order was issued. And it's been a good run, really has. We had about 125 volunteers in our community that partook in this and continued to in a very limited way. But I feel like it was really successful, and I feel fortunate that I got to meet so many great people in the community through it.
Great. Well, welcome aboard, Helen. I apologize. I didn't see you, but I'm glad you joined us today. So, but just for briefly for Barbara and Helen's background is that right now, this committee, what we did is we're working on a survey for River Forest to see, to determine, provide an assessment of the needs of our seniors in River Forest. So what we have been doing is we're up to this point, we pulled a number of surveys that were out there, trying to narrow them down. And so we put a number of questions, and now we're trying to narrow those questions and come up with a survey that we can feel we can send out to our village. And so last month we went through half of the questions. And so today we're gonna go through the remaining questions try to see if we can narrow it down any further. So with that, unless somebody else has questions or comments, I was going to ask Sarah, like she did the last time, and Helen, I think it's in our board materials, if you were able to pull it on from the website. Okay. And I think the link was sent to you by Sarah. You can follow along that way. Otherwise, the rest of us that are on Zoom here, Sarah's going to pull it up on the screen so we can all look at it. And then we'll go through each of the comments or questions and see if we can start narrowing down again. So with that, Sarah, you want to pull up where we left off last time?
Okay. So we are at this highlighted section right here. And Dan, thank you for the tip about focus on Microsoft Word, but apparently it's not in the 2016 edition, so I can't use that.
Oh, yeah. See, that's a problem when you have different versions or so, and by the way, Helen, if you have the document up, it is the section right relating to transportation.
Okay.
Okay, so we're there. So, so change the, okay, so let's start with the first comment like we did the last time. I mean, change the entire section to, okay, access to transportation. Does anybody have any comments? Is everyone okay with that? Okay. All right. And then suggested questions or comments is I can get myself anywhere I want, when I want. I can afford to call a taxi or rideshare. I can use public transportation like a bus or train to get where I want. Or if we keep the next two. So whoever suggested this, are you saying that you would suggest those three items or go with the two below, following?
I think this was Jim's suggestion. His was.
Oh, okay, Jim, do you wanna let
us? I think that was my understanding, Russ, is that he's saying to, include these questions, or if we keep the next two, just change tram to train. So the other one.
Okay.
Let me scroll back up.
So we can all see that. Okay.
Access to transportation.
I don't think we need to have, I can easily get on the bus or train in my neighborhood if you have, I can use public transit like a bus or a train to get where I want.
Okay.
It's basically the same question.
Okay.
So, you know, that's similar to I can get myself anywhere I want when I want.
Actually, wouldn't the question make more sense if it were something like I use public transit like a bus or train to get where I want rather than I can? Don't we want to know what the people's actual behavior is?
Well, what if they use a car, but will use the bus or a train, say, to access downtown or maybe a selective appointment or something like that?
That doesn't exclude that.
Because we have a question that says, I use a car where I need to go. So you're going to, you know, this all follows for our newer members. Strongly agree, neither disagree or agree, like format. We have, there's a, the check off to this isn't yes or no. It's what Sarah's showing us now, which is a, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 scale.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, can you go, can you go all the way to the top, Sarah? So there you go. So that's where they're showing.
Barb, have you seen the scale, Barbara? Have you read any of the previous materials?
Of your particular committee, or of just having seen different surveys that have been done?
Well, just to give you a little background, and Helen as well, this was from some of the most recent, there was a special edition, an environmental gerontology that came out, and a researcher, I believe in Britain, I can't remember what country he's from, but he did a confirmatory and exploratory factor analysis on all of the items from various surveys and came up with this 23-item questionnaire that was validated about being able to capture all of the domains of age-friendly across all kinds of surveys. So that's what we're operating from, the assumption that 23-item scale can be useful to us and not having to ask quite so many questions, but the majority of these can capture what we want to know.
Right. And so Barbara and Helen, so what we're talking about is using this format, and then maybe if we have to add, or if we think we have to add additional items to this this format, then that's what we're talking about now.
So with that, just my first reaction, right, with the 5-point scale for that is the one that you have on number 20, I can easily get on a bus or tram in my neighborhood, or I can easily use a bus, whichever you want to use, fits a 5-point scale better than I use a bus, because you're judging the easily there, not the use. And that, I think, is what the need is whether it's easily or not. So if I had a 5-point scale and I said I use a bus taxi, I couldn't really say, you know, somewhat disagree on that, because you either use it or you don't. But easily is something else, I think. I'm just trying to keep with the spirit of that, yeah, what I saw in that questionnaire you just put up, Lydia. And the main thing, I mean, not a main thing, but a really important thing when people take surveys is they shouldn't have to think like, oh, you know, is this, am I really judging this or that? Or it shouldn't kind of just hit them right away.
Would it make some sense to make the question, I have easy access to the bus or train in my neighborhood? I mean, let's forget, take the tram language out. We don't have tram.
Right.
Have easy access. Isn't the question really whether or not they have easy access?
Right. I agree.
What we're trying to find out.
I think that still fits with the spirit in terms of the judging is the easy part. Yeah.
Okay.
So it would be, I have easy access to the bus. And are we considering trains to be in our neighborhood? How does, maybe public transportation instead of bus or train?
So the train would be getting to the Metro or the L, right?
Right.
Correct.
Okay. And the bus, is that a bus that would go up Harlem? I'm trying to figure out. That would be the bus. Okay.
Well, actually, it's two separate questions, really.
Right. So maybe so people either take the bus or the train, or they do a rideshare or a taxi, or they drive. Can we ask that?
Hard on a 5-point scale.
I guess not. Yeah.
Well, the question is actually,
it's a question of whether it's easy access or you like taking it. You know, you might have easy access, but don't like taking it. You kind of need to know both.
Right.
I'm willing to take it. I have easy, I don't know.
Well, the other question to ask ourselves is what information are we trying to solicit and what can we do with that information?
Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So what are we trying to, what are we trying to find out from the respondents?
I thought what we're trying to find out is whether they have access to transportation.
And you can't say what transportation do you have access to, because that's not a 5-point.
Yeah.
Got it. So you're breaking it down too.
So you basically would be asking, I have easy access to the bus, and you would have a separate question, I have easy access to the train. Because they're two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Got to resist asking two questions in one.
Unless you want to just call them both public transportation.
Yeah, I mean, the big questions are, does it make a difference whether they have easy access to the bus but not to the train or vice versa, which may be of import, I don't know.
So that's kind of what this, I'm sorry, Dan.
Well, the question is what will we do with the information we get from this? What can be done about the information? Right. Now, can we do anything about it? Are we talking about, I mean, is there anything the village can do to change bus routes? Is there anything the village can do to provide access to the train? I don't think there's much the village can do to change bus routes, but in terms of providing access to the train, if you're, you know, pace, they need pace transportation, maybe there is something we could do. What do people think? I hear brains exploding.
No, well, I was going to say there's certain things I know the village won't be able to do, but I thought if seniors want and having a problem with transportation, it's something that we know is needed. And I know, for example, Oak Park provides some transportation. And I know there's some issues that may exist regarding the boundaries that Oak Park can provide transportation for or to. But it's almost like if we can do something in the future with our neighboring villages regarding transportation, even though it won't be all over the place, maybe that's something to consider. But if our residents say, hey, I have no problem, I can get on the bus easily or train or the Metro, and or I can drive. And I'm, you know, some of our seniors still remain drive and some ride the bike. And so I don't know. It's almost, I'm curious to see how much of our residents are restricted in terms of transportation. But that would just be my thought. I don't know if others agree.
I think we can ask the question by using the public transportation language, okay, as opposed to breaking it down into bus and train. You know, the bus and the train practically follow the same route if you exclude North Avenue.
Okay.
So I have access to public transportation, and you could say I use a car where I need to go, strongly agree or disagree, and you're going to capture whether they're, and they might say both. You know, I use a car where I need to go, and I have easy access to public transportation.
Okay.
In a way, then we know someone's, their needs are being met.
Would we not be trying to find out if people tend to use a car much more frequently? Well, instead of I use a car, I drive to where I need to go. It makes sense.
Right.
But are we not really seeking to get some idea as to the dependence on public transportation as opposed to being able to drive? And when we, if that is what we're trying to do, then wouldn't we want to phrase a question in terms of what they primarily, it doesn't fit that darn scale.
Could you say,
what about if you said, I prefer to drive to get to where I want?
Yeah, or I primarily drive to get to where I need to go.
Can you say, I need easy access to public transportation?
How about I want?
Mm-hmm. Or this one here, I want easy access to public transportation.
Or want access.
That's a 5-point scale, yeah.
Yeah, but that precludes then the fact that they
would use it.
Yeah, I think the original language makes more sense here. That I have easy access to public transportation.
Okay.
But then, you know, it's something along the lines that would enable us to get some idea as to which they use primarily. So maybe I primarily use a car to get to where I want to go. Or I primarily drive to where I want to go rather than use public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
That would give us some guidance as to really how dependent people really are on public transportation.
That's a hard 5-point scale. I don't know what I would differentiate between strongly agree and agree. You know, that's more like a usually off, you know, all the time, usually never, not a agree disagree scale.
Yeah, well, we've seen the scale, you know, may not be appropriate for every question, but we seem to have made a commitment to that, I fear.
Well, do you have to say primarily?
Aren't we trying to find out if that's what their usual mode of transportation?
I think prefer comes in there then. It's like, what do they prefer?
But that leaves it open.
Agree and disagree, I think, on a scale.
Yeah, but that leaves it open. They may prefer, even if you can't drive, you may prefer to be driving.
Right.
Yeah, would anybody prefer to take the bus to work? Show of hands. I mean, no, everybody's preferred method of transportation is self-transport. Secondarily, it would be to have someone drive them. And then the concern for older adults in community becomes, is it door-to-door transportation, curb-to-curb service, and are they mobile enough to access public transportation at the end of the day? So I think if we're asking, I have access to public transportation, I like the language on the drive question before primarily, and then if you exclude the word bus, then you capture taxi ride share, driving, and public transportation in those three simple questions. Mm-hmm. And they'll be mutually exclusive. So then you'll be able to at least garner whether people are using multiple you know, we use multiple sources of transportation. You know, I drive, but I'll take an Uber at times, you know, and occasionally the train. If I'm just going downtown, I prefer to take the train.
So, Jim, what's your suggestion for the I drive to where I need to go language?
I drive to where I need to go, or what was the language before? I think it was, I use the car where I need to go, or I drive an automobile where I need to go. I use taxi or ride share as my mode of transportation. And then I have easy access to public transportation.
When I change automobile to motor vehicles, and so many people are driving SUVs and vans, but I guess you use automobile. I mean, if we assume everyone's going to say consider a van or a SUV, an automobile, we're okay, or a truck. I don't think a lot of seniors have pickup trucks here. But I still, damn.
And where does rideshare go in there if somebody takes an Uber or a?
That's the next question.
Oh, okay.
That's the third question.
We just didn't need to eliminate the word bus from the third question.
Correct. Right.
Okay, we're trying to find out what, two things. One, if they have easy access to public transportation, and two, what their primary mode of transportation is. Isn't that what we're trying to really find out?
And I think we capture that in those three questions, right?
No, because I drive an automobile where I need to go. That doesn't give us an idea of the relative use of the different modes of transportation.
Yeah, it does. If they answer the other two questions, it does. And those two are, you compare them. You just do an analysis in the transportation section of how they answer question 21 versus 22 or 23.
I don't think it does that. I really don't. I think.
And I easily drive where I need to go. I easily can take public transportation where I need to go. Or
what about I usually drive an automobile to where I need to go? Or I usually take public transportation? Or I usually take a taxi or rideshare? Now, if we weren't using the scale, it'd be real easy. I usually take that 1, 2, or 3 to where I need to go. But with the scale, we have to, it gets broken down into three different questions.
I think usually works.
Then the next would be, I usually take a
taxi or rideshare.
Yeah, take out bus.
Do we need automobile in there? Can we just say I usually drive where I need to go?
Yeah, you could take out automobile. Good point. Good idea.
Do we want to capture anything like somebody takes me, like a friend takes me, or a relative takes me, a neighbor takes me?
Maybe in this one, we could say I usually drive myself to where I need to go. Just
mm-hmm.
Good.
Right.
And do you want to say usually somebody right. I know drives me?
Or gives me a ride?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Would you?
I am dependent on someone to help me, or I am dependent on others for my transportation needs.
I think we should maintain the stylistic way we're doing it there.
Okay. So you can say, I usually depend on others
To get me where I want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
So not for my transportation needs, because that's a language that's divorced from what the others are. So to get me where I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And going back all the way to the public transportation, are we going to say I usually take public transportation? Or what?
The question is, what do we want to know? Do we want to know if people feel they have easy access to public transportation, or do we want to know if they usually take public transportation? Which do we want to know? And if we want to know both, then there's another question to add.
Do we think people usually do what's easiest for them?
Not necessarily. I mean, they might have a need, but it's not being met, so they usually do something else.
Well, since I'm the person probably that would be taking this, that would fit more into the role of the person who would be taking this without all the expertise that you all have. I would think I have easy access to public transportation is important, because I think people, that can be really important to people. So I think to say I usually take public transportation, I don't think will get us to the same, whether or not it meets their needs.
So if you want,
I see it.
Yeah, you're right. So if we want to know if they usually take public transportation, we'd have to add a question. I usually take public transportation to get where I need to go.
Or maybe that speaks to itself. I have easy access to public transportation. We should then assume that they use it?
No, because I've got extraordinarily easy access to public transportation. Yeah. And
right.
I'll use it to go downtown, but not around here.
Got it. Yeah.
Or I might use it, but it's not accessible. It's, you know, a long slug and walk to get to the train.
Yeah. So why don't we for now just add the line, I usually take public transport, don't replace, but add, I usually take public transportation to get where I need to go.
Right.
And also keep easily access?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Or instead of public transportation, would you want to say, I usually take the bus, the L, or the Metro to get to where I need to go. That way,
yeah. I don't
need to do the translation of public transportation to those three travel modes.
I think so.
Yeah, because Metro wouldn't be considered public transportation, right?
Yeah, it is.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we should, Rez, you're right. Yeah,
okay.
We should mention them individually.
Yeah.
I would just say bus rather than
yeah.
Pace bus, because that would confuse people.
Because you got the CTA. Yeah. Okay.
And instead of the L, it should be the L. Let's use Chicagoese.
So should we delete everything that's in blue text above what we're working on?
Can I ask one other question before you?
Sure. Okay.
In terms of what we want to know, is that question, I can get myself anywhere I want, when I want, an important one to know? So we have their assessments or our own assessments, you know, the population's assessments of their satisfaction with their degree of mobility right now or not?
It's technically two questions by our standard anyway.
Yeah.
Well, without answering that question, I think we can take out the question, I can afford to call a taxi or rideshare, because we're going to be asking income questions later.
And then we can get rid of the public transportation like a bus or train, right? Because we're
Yeah.
Okay. And Sarah, you can delete the very first blue line since we already added access to.
So what do you think about that first one? I can get myself anywhere I want when I want. Is that a little broad when you say anywhere? Yeah.
We don't cover that in the rest of them.
Well, do we need that question, that item? I can get myself anywhere I want when I want. And then the question, additional question is using the word anywhere, that's pretty broad. I mean,
yeah.
It gives you a way of breaking down people if you're going to segment when you're analyzing the data, though. I mean, that's somebody that if that's strongly agree or an agree, that's a very independent person, as opposed to a group who might be a disagree. That, and then you might be able to pull differences in what they need based on that kind of breakdown of people.
Why don't we leave that in for now? And because there's going to be one more culling, I imagine.
Yeah.
So why don't we leave that in for now? And as we think this out a little further, make a decision.
Yeah.
I'll highlight it just so we remember to come back.
And how about the next two? I use the bus, taxi, and mode of transportation, and then I use a car where I need to go.
Yeah, you can get rid of those.
Those, right? Yeah. Okay.
I guess 21 goes out too.
Yeah.
So I can just delete all of this, right?
Everyone okay with that? Okay. All right. Okay. All right, the next two. My income is sufficient to cover my basic needs without any problems.
It looks like, I forget who was the person in green.
I see.
Hey, Sarah, while they're pondering that, you can make this easier to read if you drag the corner of your word and make it narrower and taller. It'll be easier for us to read because we don't have to see all the commands.
Like this, you mean?
It'll make it taller now.
That's
as tall as it's going to be in the screen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Can do that, but that's about it.
Yeah, okay. I see the limits of Zoom.
Okay. So it looks like the financial situation is the same, right? So are we proposing that the demographics be a separate section? That's what I thought. But are we thinking that the demographics would be part of falling under financial situation, which I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. So what I'm saying is demographics is going to be a new section.
Right.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So maybe, Sarah, do you want to scroll down a little bit? And then these are the questions that are being asked.
Yeah, we're missing with whom do you live? We're missing a roommate. I mean, would it be friend? Will we make it friend or roommate? Or have roommate as a separate choice?
I think it could be friend roommate.
Yeah, I think so too.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
And when you say, do you use a caregiver, are we talking about a live-in or someone who just comes there part of the day or part of the week? What will people understand that to mean?
I guess from my vantage, from my perception, I would think it'd be either one.
As long I would think it'd be a caregiver, whether she came every day or came in twice a week. I use a caregiver or I don't.
Okay. In terms of how long
you are you talking a paid caregiver or just, you know, like my daughter comes and does this care every?
I say either one. Do we want to know whether it's the caregiver's paid or not?
No.
I mean, as long as the caregiver's coming, right?
Okay. In how long have you lived in River Forest? We just have to always spell out the words. Don't use those. Don't use abbreviations in a survey.
Okay.
This is where search and replace comes in really handy.
Oh, okay.
If I weren't on a screen share, I would do that, Dan. But for sake, I'll just do this real quick.
Yeah. And same thing.
Someone lives with their sibling or their parent, which would they answer on that one?
Spouse or relative?
And those are different.
That's different. Mm-hmm. I think you have another choice to add.
It could just be relative, I guess.
Live with relative other than spouse.
Yeah, because it could be grandchild. Yeah, relative other than spouse.
Yeah, we had someone here living with his grandfather, a neighbor.
Okay, this is 10 years, 15. Okay.
Now, income from a pension, we don't need that if we use the questions that follow in the purple demographics. And what happened to the questions about, we've got this question here about, do you know approximately how much it costs per month to live in your current home? But we had questions, and they seem to have disappeared, that asked for the amounts they were spending on housing.
What?
They might be at the top, Dan.
Oh, okay.
Are these the ones you're?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah. For Barbara's edification, these questions were in a survey we did of random sample survey we did for the city of Naperville a number of years ago. They got a 65% response rate.
Mm.
And we used Don Dillman's total design method.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we tested it out and we were able to get good answers, good reliable answers to these questions. So I'm suggesting that, you know, we don't want to ask for a specific amount. People are reluctant to give that. Okay. If you give them a range, they'll answer it. And of course, these all go at the end of the survey, because people have they're probing questions and people have invested so much time in the survey that they will then tend to answer the questions. We only had one person out of the 200 something or 300 something that responded who didn't answer the all the income questions.
That's great.
Okay. I guess I would ask, why do we want to know this? Why do we need to know?
To determine how many people are cost burdened and severely cost burdened.
It's not the purpose of this survey.
And I beg to differ. No. The survey has to do with whether we are supposed to find out if people can afford, if they can continue.
I would submit to you that 90 out of 100 people wouldn't know what the definition of cost burden is.
We're not asking that question. We'll calculate that. We're right. asking but, what well, they're spending on housing. Age
friendly, how does it pertain to the domains? Whether someone thinks their house is accessible. It's not a questionnaire about demographics related to income, house burden, housing affordability, or group housing, or those elements of this. I understand why you would do a survey for those things, but I think that's out of the realm of what we were asked to do by the village board for this survey pertaining to the eight domains of age friendly. And what we
housing is one of the domains. And the element is of that domain is whether you can afford your housing and whether you can afford to continue to live here. And the bottom line is if someone can't afford to continue to live here, then there's something, the village has an interest enabling them to continue to live here, because we're talking about the people that made this village so good, so great.
Yeah, but we're saying the village can't help us get to the bus. How are they going to help me afford to live in my, you know, $500,000 condo if I can't afford to live in my $250,000 condo?
Well, you're assuming everyone's living in those very expensive condos. We also happen to have condos across the street from me that are $65,000.
Okay, so then.
This is vital information for a city that we're supposed to be coming up with a plan for age friendly. Then you can't be more age friendly than enabling people who made this town what it is to be able to continue to live here. And that may mean, it may point out, we need to get more affordable housing for seniors here. Who knows? But let's find out.
Some of it I see is it just gives you data on what the distribution is, so that, you know, this is a way of segmenting people, so that let's say these people who answer, you know, from the 700 through 1500, they all answer the same on something else too, then they don't, but the other people don't, then you see that there's patterns that are based on this kind of distribution, and you can tell what percent of the population this applies to.
Yeah, exactly. Plus,
so it helps to have the numbers of what percent you're talking about, I think.
Well, then you're assuming that the survey is completely generalizable to a larger population, which it's generally not.
I'm just thinking of the people that answer it. Ideally it would be generalizable to River Forest population.
Well, it'd be generalizable, assuming we do a proper random sample, it'll be representative of the universe of people presumably 50 and over. Obviously not the people under 50 that aren't being surveyed.
But I was just thinking, can this apply to the River Forest people? And it seems like it could be if we get a large enough N for it.
Yeah. It's kind of important, including, you know, knowing the largest source of income. That gives us an idea of in which ranges people are surviving.
This many questions about it, though. It does seem like there's a lot of questions.
This is a deep dive into finances.
It is.
In terms of housing and affordability. You'd spend 6 minutes on these. I timed trying to work my way through these questions, and it was, you know.
Well, I can tell you from actual experience, the survey we did for Naperville that had about 45 questions in it, it took people 10 to 15 minutes to do it.
What was the average age of the person that took that survey?
Full range, from young to older employees.
Okay.
And we did two tests of the survey to get it, make sure that it was usable. And among those that answered it, we had a full range of ages.
Could we find out the same amount if we collapsed some of those ranges? Or are those ranges like pretty well established and fixed in terms of something?
They matched what the census provides, which enabled us to see how well this represented the full range there. But we could, if we wanted, certainly collapse a few of them. No question about it. I think we could collapse the first three, into one, and the next three into one, and then the next two into one, and the last next two into one, and then the last one by itself. So that's a quick collapsing.
Like about, this, man?
Yeah, you'd have less than 20, it'd be less than 24, less than 25,000. The first category would be less than 25,000. The next would be, I guess actually it should be less than 24,999. Or you can make it less than 25,000. The next one would be 25,001 through, yeah, let's do it that way. 25,001. Well, whichever way you want to do it, the next group would be the 25 through 75, say. Yeah, and then the next group would be the next two categories. That gets us, no, not the, don't go, no, no, 75,000 through 124,999. Because that gets us roughly to where the median income is in River Forest. And then the next two, 125 through 199.99, and then 200,000 or more. That would work.
And then what, you know, this is just getting kind of rationales behind it, going with what Jim is saying. What does knowing where the largest source of income do for us for the survey?
It gives us a really good idea of, it's good to, it's helpful to know the source of income, especially among older people. So we have a good idea of how they're supporting themselves, if they're working or not, or if they're living off benefits, or if there's some other source of income. If they're living off benefits, we know their income is pretty well frozen at that level. If they're working, we know that it can go up and down.
Yeah, but we can't tell from the way that these questions are worded. I don't think we need to know the source. You know, I think we should continue. We can add more of these questions, but I think we got to weed some of these out. So the source, they check wages, salary, and profits from a business. Which is it then? If they check the retirement income, such as Social Security, pension, IRAs, KEO, I haven't seen a KEO, and I'm a financial advisor in 20 years, 401k, annuities, railroad retirement benefits, and veteran benefits. So which is it? Are they receiving a fixed benefit from a Veterans Administration, or are they on a pension?
Oh, it doesn't matter which one it is. They're all a category, but in the interest of compromise, I'm happy to drop the question. If it's a general feeling, we don't need the information.
So the financial information, excuse my naivety, the financial information is important so we can assess housing needs. Is that what we're saying?
Yes. Yeah, we know we can't just ask people if they can afford their housing.
Do you think there's people that would just not answer it?
Well, it's too subjective. This gives us an idea, enables us to determine by well accepted standards whether or not people are affording their housing or not, or if they're being stretched.
But if they're taking the survey, they could just not answer it if they were.
Well, as I said, with Naperville, we had one person not answer it. That's, you know, once you get this far into a survey, you tend to answer because you've invested time into it and you're understanding the purpose of the survey better when you're towards the end of it. That's why, you know, when you take surveys, the good surveys don't ask you about race or anything like that till the end of the survey.
Russ, you're muted.
Thank you. So are we on the source of income, are we going to keep those three categories, or are we going to?
You can take it out altogether if you want.
Okay.
The question, I thought.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're losing this one?
Sure. Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. Good, Jay. Let's
see. Those last two questions are suggested because this is a key thing for seniors. You know, everyone's concerned about safety. Our village president has declared that safety is not one of our top three priorities. And I can tell you, it's not just seniors that are complaining about how dark it is at night here on the streets and sidewalks. So I think that it would make sense to fit these two items into the survey if we could.
Okay. And then this is going to fit in the categories from the other survey, right? Those five categories where people can.
Yeah. Respond. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, they're there already in the outdoor spaces and buildings.
Okay. Then, yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were.
We would move this in that section. Where are you?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You've got them there already. Good. And in the immortal words of Emily Latella, never mind.
Okay.
I'll delete them from the bottom then.
Okay.
And then can you, Sarah, pull the other demographic questions, order that?
At the very top.
Yeah.
Should we just move them?
They get moved to the bottom.
Bottom, yeah, I was going to say.
I don't recall if we went through all of these or not.
No, we didn't.
Oh, I think we didn't. Yeah, I think we left them there. We were going to come back, but why don't we at least we put it with at the very end with the other demographics?
Yeah, I'd put it ahead of the income.
Okay. Well, right now, and then we can talk about moving
around. Yeah.
Okay. So Dan, are you saying that the very first questions regarding the amount of gross income, that very should go before the monthly rent or where?
No, I'd put gross income at the end.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Now some of this, you know, one of these overlaps with the question we had in there at the in the green demographics, we had the question of do you own or rent? So that's, you know, the same sort of thing.
That's true.
As asked here. So, you know, this has to do with identifying what people currently live in. And
can't we just really access that from the most recent census data?
No, because we're not going to get it by age.
Yeah, we can. For sure we can. It's all done by age. It's done by household type, age, income, working versus retired. All the breakdowns are there. And both what's the American survey that's done more frequently and then in the census.
American Community Survey, you know, is very large.
Because I would get rid of I don't think we need owner rent. We captured it. How much is monthly rent inconsequential to this survey?
No, it isn't.
There's so few rentals, even in the village, that capturing this, I think this data could be obtained through the Board of Realtors.
No, it can't.
How much is monthly rent?
Oh my God, Jim. No, it can't. This is basic demographic data is essential if we're going to make a plan.
Well, then we've got to get into how much people are paying in their taxes for property taxes. And we need to know how much their mortgage payments are and how large their mortgages are as a percentage of the property value. Otherwise, why are you asking questions about rental income in a town that has such little rental housing stock?
11%, which should be troubling you.
In this community, it doesn't trouble me knowing that there is adequate rental stock within 1.1 miles of here, that all communities cannot do all things to all people. And I think we all realize that.
Yes, but what you're ignoring is that River Forest originally was primarily multifamily housing, and the government, through its zoning, it's very exclusionary zoning. It's abusive zoning, quite honestly. I can say that as a planner and zoning lawyer, has turned it quite exclusionary. And we have people in this town that have lived here many years, that have made it as great as it is, that do not have the income that they used to have, that are being pushed out. And we are concerned with getting the factual situation of what people, seniors, are spending on their housing, being able to calculate from this data the percentages that are spending 30% or more and 50% or more, to give us a very clear picture of what their housing situation is of the seniors living in River Forest. And there's nothing more essential to serving
and being an age-friendly community than enabling older people. What is the village going to do with that data?
Well, one of the things that I find interesting when I looked at the outcomes of the ARP age-friendly, you know, the last time that they did it, was to kind of relate the different ratings that River Forest and Oak Park had on various topics to the geographical locations. And there were definitely differences along Lake Street, those rentals, and along Harlem, in terms of how they fared on some of the other questions based on their geographic place. And so I'm not sure what the village is going to do about certain rent or anything like that. I'm not sure if that would influence zoning, but it does show that there are distinct differences and somehow creatively could be addressed. But I think that the ARP survey has already shown that those geographies respond differently to some of the questions than the single family housing units do.
And this affects the planning that we do for this village. I don't know how long folks have lived here, but about 10 years ago, the corridor plan was proposed that called for eliminating all that housing that Barbara just talked about, also on North Avenue, and replacing it with much higher priced high rises. So it took 75 people showing up at a village board meeting and plan commission meeting to get the village to take that out of the plan. And I've got it fully documented at riverforestmatters.com. You can see the original, what was proposed. It's critical that we know what percentage of income people, seniors in particular, are spending on their housing, if we're going to produce any kind of a plan that is responsive to the needs of seniors in River Forest. I mean, what is more age friendly than enabling our seniors to continue to live here? All the other stuff, it's meaningless if they can't continue to live here. And I'm not saying that everybody is entitled to live in River Forest.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying, is that anybody that's lived here for any period of time should be able to stay here forever, regardless of their resources, what planning they've done, how they spent their time and money, and what access to income or excess income they have.
That is not what I'm saying, Jim. I'm tired of people putting words in my mouth.
Well, I'm saying that, all I do is advise older adults on finances and financial matters. And people come to realizations very quickly in their lives of why they live, where they live, what they can afford, especially in their housing, whether they can afford one house or two nice houses or one small one. People know this. And it doesn't just happen upon you. And when you live in this community, that property taxes are an extreme element, the way that we treat our high school, the way that we actually give to the taxing bodies as homeowners. You make that commitment as a resident when you move in, and you commit to the increases in it over time, which is why people leave at a certain point in time, because they're finished using some of those resources that are available to them when they're raising children, educating children, and socializing within community. It's a natural social progression that we cannot, as a government body, provide affordable housing for everybody to live everywhere they want because they lived there before.
But you're dealing here with the seniors who, even after their kids have finished school, are still paying those property taxes so your kids can go to nice schools. They've made this commitment and investment in the community.
Well, most of them don't. Most of them downsize. And I would say to you as an advisor, I would advise most of them to downsize. You know, I would say, you know, why are we taking up housing stock, you know, a 5-bedroom house with nobody in it that could be beneficial to a growing family when the house doesn't serve my needs anymore? And it is expensive and cumbersome for me to maintain it and to live in it.
You know, and I heard this.
As I'm aging, my accessibility is declining and my house is old and it needs renovation to accommodate my age and my lack of mobility. The houses weren't built for people to age and they were built 110 years ago. So that's a part of the dynamic here that says, you know, that's something that we could affect. This survey is more about accessibility, desire, things like that, not these hard financial numbers that you're driving at. I think that's a different survey. If you want to do an affordability study or a strict housing survey, then I would agree 100% with you, Dan, on these questions and your need to include these in your survey. But for this age-friendly survey, when you go and look at what this thing originally was and what was and has been committed to by hundreds of communities across the country, doesn't include any of this information. It's not on their agenda.
They do include, go look at those surveys we looked at the beginning. They do include this information. You cannot say they don't include it. You know, it's a lot of nerve of younger people, like Lois Hall was in Oak Park when I worked for Oak Park years ago, who said, she was a realtor, said seniors are selfish if they don't sell their homes and move to something smaller. Given everyone's involvement here with seniors, I'm a little stunned to hear what you're saying, because it's not our business to tell a senior they should move out of their home or that they're being selfish staying in their home.
Long as they can afford it, they don't need me to subsidize it. And they don't need me to come over and provide handyman services, cut their lawn, shovel their snow, and tuck them in at night. Yeah, I agree, Dan.
Well, no one's going to ask you to do that. You're not going to.
We have a handyman service. Okay. People want a snow service. They want affordable light bulb changing. And they want to live in a $1.2 million house.
And I'm not worried about
that. All day long. If you can afford the freight, then live there. No one's asking anybody to leave. I'd encourage people to stay if they can afford it.
I'm not worried about those people so much as I'm worried about the people on North Avenue, on Harlem, on Lake Street, south of the train tracks, who are not among the very wealthy and never have been, who are able to live here, have been able to live here, have contributed to the community, and they can be forced out because the village does not have housing that they can afford. This is our opportunity to find out their needs.
But you said yourself that right across the street from you, there's $60,000 and $70,000 condos, and there have been for the last 10 or 15 years. Those condos, routinely people move in and move out of them. People routinely move from their homes on the 1000 block of Ashland and Franklin, and they move into the buildings on Ashland and Franklin, at, you know, right over by the bank, and they live in the condos there. And if they stay in community, I watch people transition all the time. It's a very natural progression. You know, I don't think it's this committee's job or charge within this particular survey to try to drill down to affordable housing for seniors. That's not what the purpose of this was.
So many of the other surveys have done it, and what are you afraid we're going to find out?
I'm afraid people aren't going to take the survey, Dan. I think we're dealing with a cumbersome beast that then has to be interpreted. And again, we've been at it for a long time. And as at the end, to add all of these questions that don't necessarily speak to the exact charge that we were given, to me, is where you start to cut. That's all.
I think we have a different view of what the charge of this committee is. And I'm happy to go back to the actual language if you want, but it's, this is the information we need to know, quite frankly. If age-friendly bottom line is, can people have gotten old continue to live in the community? Everything else follows after that. I think we need to know whether our seniors can afford to continue to live here. Maybe it's not a problem. Maybe they're overwhelmingly wealthy and they're spending less than 30% of their income on housing. You know, that'll settle that issue. It won't be an issue anymore.
And Dan,
let's find out.
Let me ask this question as a question to the group. Can we ask a question more general to the survey takers? Can you live, or do you feel you can still stay in River Forest based on the home that you're at, or something a little more specific or general without getting into the finances? Trusting that, and this is a question, can we trust the person taking the survey is able to make that determination? So whether you're in a townhome, whether you're in a big home, whether you're in a big mansion, they're going to be able to say, yes, I can continue to live here or not. No, and I'm okay.
I haven't seen surveys asking that because it's just not reliable.
The domains don't speak to finances in this respect. The 8 domains don't, that we were charged with looking into, don't. There is not a financial section that says let's do an analysis of the income and expense ratios of housing for those that rent versus those that own. I mean, I understand exactly where you're going with it, but that's not the charge of this particular survey. That's all I'm saying. And it's a lot of questions. When you order them back in, put them back in there, it's a big part of the survey.
I think it is part of our charge. And I think it's an essential core part of the charge. And as a planner and someone who's worked on affordable housing for a long time and worked to preserve it for seniors for a long time.
This idea that there's nothing more age-friendly than affordable housing is made up, okay? I'm a gerontologist. As a gerontologist, I don't think that even speaks to the, when you get down into how people would perceive the people's judging their ability to live in one community or another based on their credibility as an individual or you know, again, what has to do with standing as an older adult, my ability to live within a community that, you know, I always lived in. It doesn't make sense. So I'm saying that if you want to go back and you want to look at the charge, and we go back and we look at the World Health Organization and the AARP definitions of what age friendly is, and we examine the 8 domains, if you can show me in there where these fit in, then I'll go along with you. But they simply don't. And I think they add too many questions with information that this committee could do very little with. Okay. And the village could do very little with, other than have this information. So what do we intend to do with it then?
There are tons of things the village can do with this information, including inclusionary zoning and preservation of existing affordable housing, particularly the multiple family housing, as opposed to the effort 10 years ago to eliminate all of it. I'd like to suggest that we do really what Jim just suggested, that we hold this to our next meeting and we go back to the documents about the domains and such and see if they do indeed preclude this or if they do include it. I think that we need to give this a little bit of thought and not decide it, you know, do the usual River Forest thing and come to a very quick conclusion.
Okay. First of all, I got a couple of questions. Number one, we're only asking about monthly rent. So does this assume we don't put an emphasis on people paying a mortgage?
No, go down to question X. Okay. That's for ownership.
Okay.
Which is asking your monthly mortgage payment, property tax, and condominium or homeowner association monthly fee.
Okay.
These are things people know. I mean, renters know exactly what they're paying in rent. And homeowners know exactly what they're paying in their monthly mortgage payment, which generally will include, you know, for a lot of people, it includes the property tax. You certainly know what your property tax is otherwise and your monthly association fees. Again, you know, we had one person not answer this question on the Naperville survey.
And so, Dan, let me ask this question regarding the monthly rent ranges and the ownership ranges. Can they be the same? Can we combine the rent, monthly rent versus the monthly ownership costs and have the same ranges? Or
we could. Okay. Let me, I'll check some data and see if, I mean, I think there are people in River Forest that may be paying actually less than $300 or less a month. Not a hell of a lot, but I'll check that and see if we can combine these, make them into the same ranges. You know, if you're not concerned about how long people want to continue to live here, we could drop that question. If you're not concerned about what they want to move to next, we could drop that question. But I think that it's really critical to have an idea about the affordability of people's housing and what they live in now, because that will be able to give us an idea by the type of home they're living in, what their financial situation is regarding those homes.
Okay.
I don't know if we're going to be keeping this or not, and I guess that'll be the next meeting, but I'm just, my mind is going to, do we want to know what it is now or what's sustainable for them? Because it could be this is what they are now and they're not going to stay here long because they can't afford it. But we're really saying, if you were going to stay, you know, what would it take? What's a sustainable amount for you to put into your housing for you to stay here?
Well, this data really gives us both bits of information, assuming, well, yes and no. I mean, it gives us a snapshot of their current situation. And it gives us some hint as to what, assuming their income doesn't suddenly collapse and their mortgage payments or rent doesn't suddenly go up monstrously, some idea of what they're able to handle in the next few years. It's not going to answer every single question, but you know, there's an underlying adage in planning that the better informed decision makers are, the better decisions they will presumably make. And I think that this gives us an opportunity to better inform our decision makers in the village. But again, I think it's worth it for us to let this sit till our next meeting, go back to the other surveys and go back to the charge to the committee and a little closer look at the domains and see if this is within our aegis or outside it.
Okay. Sarah, can you keep scrolling down? I want to know how many. Okay, so that is that the last question there? Okay.
Can I ask one other question? And I don't know whether you all talked about this or not. You know, some of this, I've just been thinking as I've been listening to, you know, that income could be one of those things that makes people feel included versus excluded and that kind of stuff, the same way as race, gender, those things? Are we asking demographics about race or gender or ethnicity or anything like that?
The question is what we would do with it. I could see asking about gender. I don't know. I honestly don't know about race or ethnicity. If there's,
I don't know. I mean, I just started looking at some of the other domains and it was like, do you get involved socially? Do you feel accepted? Do you feel like you can participate? You know, just if those are different, I don't know. I'm just wondering.
No, I think you may raise some good questions because I know some people some Black people in River Forest that have felt quite uncomfortable. And there was a couple at the end of our block, a doctor and a lawyer who moved due to the hostility they felt in River Forest. They left the community, especially the stuff they got at the country club. Hopefully it's changed since they lived here, but for like the rest of the country, it hasn't changed that much. Those may be things we should include. Let's, why don't we think about that and take it up again at the next meeting and see what, the key question is, what can we do with that information? And I can see a number of ways in which it could be very helpful. Like you brought up about inclusion and such, that could be very helpful.
In class, I'm thinking an Oak Park Township, the people who use the township activities are in a different class than the people who don't. So class becomes a big issue in those mm-hmm. ways. Even if the town gives it, is it still keeping the town separated somehow?
Yeah, I there may be some things, it's maybe, we should try and think about those things for the next meeting as to what would that information give us that would be helpful. You may have something good, really good there.
Okay. Does anybody else have any comments, thoughts so far? Because otherwise, oh, go ahead, Deb, were you going to say something?
No, I know personally, before each one of these Zoom meetings, I kind of look over it, because I am kind of a novice, I kind of look over at the domains and I just try to see how the puzzle fits together. I think a lot of this financial demographics, for lack of a better word, I think there are people a bit reluctant. I think I always see the security concern with people. Like once it's out, where did this information? I don't think any of us feel like information is secure anymore. That would be my big concern. I think of people filling out a survey, but I'll review the domains again and I'll come with my list of questions if we do this again next, okay. If we carry this over till next month, which it looks like we will.
Well, and here's what I'm gonna suggest is that it's a lively debate, I appreciate that, but I'm saying by next month, I'd like to get a good survey and we're gonna mm-hmm. have to vote on something. And I think we're going to get to that point. I mean, we've had discussion about it. But one thing that I do want to focus or have our group focus on is what is a good time frame to complete a survey so that people will respond to the survey. So if you make it too long, I'm hearing that maybe people... And I'm not limiting this to seniors. Generally, the public will, if they have a survey, some people are like, oh, no, I'm not going to take that survey if it's more than so many minutes. I'm sure there's some statistical information out there where someone says, try to limit your survey to the following number of minutes so that you can ensure or maximize the number of responses to it. I hear what you say, Dan, that with your survey out in Naperville, that with all these questions, you had a great response, but I don't know, and may not. I'm not saying it should or shouldn't. I've heard from other committee members here that they're like, if it's more than 10 minutes, people aren't gonna bother. And I don't know if that's correct or not, but I think we ought to think about that for sure, so that when we're going through these questions, and if we have to, for example, if we all agree it has to be, for example, hypothetically 20 minutes, then, and I'm not saying, I'm just throwing it out hypothetically, I'm not saying it has, but then we know what we're going to be focusing on to make certain decisions about this, and whether we combine some of these or whether we eliminate some of them. And so that's, so what I'm going to also suggest then from, I think we now have it so that, by that I mean is based on the survey that Lydia gave us, can we use those same categories? And I think we are, Sarah, if you can now structure these questions under those same categories with the demographics being at the very end, so that when we send that out to everybody, they can look at it in the same framework. And Sarah, can I trouble you, since we got two new committee members, can you, when you send the revised Word document before us, also attach that one page survey that Lydia had, so people can look at both of them and so when they're comparing, to try to think about the questions and then come back for next month. But I'm hoping next month we're going to have to make some decisions and not just continue to push it out for another month. I mean, everything's here, but I think everything's here. It's just now coming to a conclusion, so to speak, because we still have to discuss how we're going to get this out, et cetera, move this back. What are we going to do with the next plan? And so I'd like to get some closure by next month on this survey, at least the questions. So does that sound like a plan? Okay. All right.
Okay. Rez, if I could just ask, sure. I think that these are mostly in the same order. So I just want to make okay. sure I understand what you're asking.
And Sarah, here's a yes, thank you. Yes, good. So if they are, I just didn't have this one in front of me, but you're right. Housing, using the same categories in the same order that Lydia's, I know she brought it, right, in the same categories, so that we know if they're going to get added, they're going to get added to the sample survey that Lydia provided us. So then the idea, everybody, is that look at the Word document one more time with the PDF that Lydia provided us and see at another refreshing review of this something that we want to finalize with the additional questions we have, or if we're going to start proposing to modify or delete, then we should be ready to have that conversation next month, I should say. And again, if we can do maybe some for those particularly researchers out there, what the suggested or time frame should be for a survey, that'd be great. So we can try to at least maybe use that as also as a guideline. So when we're finishing the questions of this survey, we can probably try to mend both of them. And unless there's some other issues you think we ought to be considering as well, other than the, I think Barbara, you said looking at the race and ethnicity of questions, whether we need to add that here or not, so.
Yeah. Rez, I can tell you now that the sweet spot for surveys is 10 to 15 minutes. Okay. You don't want to go over 15.
Okay, well, that helps, Stan, thank you. So if everyone agrees with that, let's at least start with 15 minutes at the maximum, okay? So, okay. Does anybody else have any comments or about the survey itself and what we should do for next month? But that's what I'd like to do for next month. Okay.
Rez, yeah. Would it be helpful if I sent to Sarah to distribute to people a sample of what the, assuming we're going to be able to do a random sample, what the initial letter that goes out from the village president is prior to the survey?
Okay, sure.
And some of the other things that would be mailed that all contribute to getting a very high response rate, which of course result means that you've got a much more accurate sample.
That would be fine, Dan. And if anybody else has suggestion like that, that's great. But Dan, send us what you have or what you would suggest on that.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
So I would just, if I can, Russ.
Sure.
Just remind you guys that we did change around the categories a little bit at the last meeting. So it's not going to line up apples to apples here. Then we did add a number of additional questions. The ones that we did not really finish discussing are the highlighted ones. So those we were committee members wanted to come back to.
Oh, so the ones that... So the ones that are in yellow, we were going to come back to. Okay.
And those are things, you know, you could certainly consider them for the next meeting as well. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, you know what? Thank you, Sarah, for pointing that out. Because I do think that, for example, under two, I want to stay in my current or stay in my residence. I think there was just related questions back in the demographics, I think. And maybe you're right. Maybe some of those can be one or the other be put in this. Because you're right. Now that I remember, Dan, remember we had some general, as you see, housing questions. And then you thought the financial or some of the other demographics questions relating to could be at the very end for the reasons you mentioned earlier. And I think we did come to that, Sarah. We agreed that some questions of housing can be up in the front and then some additional ones at the end. So, okay. So then the yellow ones, we're still gonna, if you're looking at the yellow ones, compare them to what we may have, which is now, I think, at the end of the document, and see if somehow ones can be eliminated or combined to try to make it the survey a little more succinct. So.
And then my other suggestion would just be to just to consider that the scale that the committee wanted to use, the totally agree to totally disagree when answering the questions and going through them and time yourselves and things like that, just to see.
Okay. And Sarah, just so we're consistent too, so those five categories you just mentioned about totally disagree and totally agree, they would be used for the questions that are, for example, right here from one through, for the housing part right here.
Yeah, I think that was okay. The idea. And then, you know, they wouldn't really apply for the demographics.
Correct. Okay. All right.
But the idea was to have a consistent...
five categories.
Mechanism.
Okay. Does everybody understand or have any questions on that? Because I think that's correct. We're trying to fit these additional statements so they fit on for people to categorize them on one of those five categories. So, and I think demographics would be the only one that would not fit in that.
Yeah. Right.
So, okay. All right. Any other comments or questions? Okay. If not, then for new business, we have it in there, but really we can raise it here, but I really want to get this done for next month. So does anybody have any new business? No? Okay. And right now our next meeting is scheduled for June the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still good for everybody? It's the second Wednesday of the month.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. All right. So then everyone just look out for Sarah's email then with this updated document and then another courtesy copy of the Lydia's PDF survey, and that way everyone can have it as a courtesy. Okay.
Do you have a written copy of the charge that the board gave you? Yes. I haven't seen it. I'm just wondering.
Okay. Yes.
Referring it. I'd love to see it.
And you know what? That's a very good point, Barbara. You know, since we talked about that, Sarah, can you also attach that board resolution that created this committee and send that around as well with the PDF mm-hmm. and the survey?
Yes.
So, okay. All right. All right. Does that sound good? Any other thoughts or questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Dan seconded. Okay. Roll call, please, Sarah.
Okay. Ron Sherman is absent. Dan Lauber.
Yes.
Debbie Frederick.
Yes.
Jim Flanagan.
Yes.
Lydia Manning.
Yes.
Barbara Merle.
Yes.
Helen Kwan, I think Helen dropped off. And Chairperson Vasquez.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you all for attending this meeting, and I look forward to seeing you guys next month.